Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
And welcome back to the Every Day is Saturday show. It's Sam Crowley. It's Sunday, so it's our spiritual, and it's not just any Sunday. It's the Sunday Spiritual Podcast. It's Easter Sunday. So what else would you be doing if you were hosting a podcast on Easter Sunday than spending it with a pastor? And not just any pastor, it's the co-host of the Sunday Spiritual Podcast. We gave you a title here, Shane Harden.
Awesome.
How do you feel?
I've moved up to a title. Great.
How do you feel right now having the title of co-host? This is temporary, by the way. This is something you got to keep earning every week.
It's going to take time for it to sink in, Sam. Well, it's just overwhelming.
On behalf of everyone around the world in over 100 countries, Shane, congratulations.
Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome. And again,
it's Happy Easter.
Hey, happy Easter to you too. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Shane, we're going to talk about Easter Sunday.
Great. Let's do it.
When I grew up a Catholic, my mom, the great Catherine Crowley of Bradford, Pennsylvania, took me to what's called Stations of the Cross every Friday night. And we would go around St. Bernard's Church, and we would go in front of each station, and we would follow the priest along, and we would say prayers and all that. And it all started, Holy Week started, and then we'd go Holy Thursday, they had a Mass. Good Friday, we would fast between noon and 3, and then we eat no meat on Friday, so especially Good Friday was like the Super Bowl of not eating meat. And then we have Holy Saturday and, you know, Easter. So from your perspective as a Christian, I just described the Catholic upbringing. What does Easter week, Holy Week, look like in the Christian faith? You know, how does it differ from Catholics or other religions that
Sure. My upbringing, we did Palm Sunday. We celebrated the beginning of Holy Week. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, the celebration. We all would wave palm branches and in church and worship. And the little kids would march in carrying palm branches.
They weren't allowed to touch the ground. Is that true?
I don't remember that for me.
That was us.
Was
man.
That you?
They weren't allowed to touch
wow.
the ground.
Well,
yeah. We had to like pin them to the wall.
See, the difference I think a lot that I hear with the Catholic Church and the Protestant upbringing that I had was, you know, your symbols, there were a lot more rules around them. I mean, we had the symbols. We had the things that, you know, our communion, our waving palm branches, our candles that we would light. They were just beautiful symbols that we would use to celebrate Easter, but yours seemed to have specific value to them that was very different than mine. Like the thought of that palm branch touching the ground to me really doesn't mean anything to a Catholic upbringing. There's some sacredness about that symbol.
I'm going off memory, but I'm pretty sure I'm correct.
Okay.
So if people are listening in the Catholic,
I'd be so shocked if you were wrong, Sam.
Yes, me too. So let's just go with my thesis.
But you know, so we'd start Holy Week, and Holy Week was just a week to really be. It wasn't that Easter wasn't celebrated all year, because that's the crutch of our faith is on the resurrection of our Savior.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about resurrection. That's probably a big word if you don't understand it.
Sure.
But so Sunday, Palm Sunday, and then Thursday, we call it Maunday Thursday, which is...
You call it what?
You went to Maunday, M-A-U-N-D-A-Y.
M-A-U-N-D-A-Y.
And that was the night where we celebrate. We would do communion. We would talk about Jesus' crucifixion.
That's the Last Supper too, right? Thursday,
it is.
Holy Thursday.
And we would find ourselves leaving in the dark, not talking to anybody. It was a very solemn service. Okay?
Because that was Jesus' Last Supper before he was died on the cross.
And then Friday, which is Good Friday, 3 days before Easter, is the day that we note this is the day Jesus died on the cross.
Why is it called Good Friday?
Because we know what's coming. I mean, it's Good Friday because Jesus' death means everything to us. I mean, he paid the price for our sins. He died on a cross, and it sounds like a paradox, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, how could we say it's good when he's dying? And but the death on the cross, it was the culmination. It was the plan that God had put into action from the day creation started. He knew that he would send a savior into the world, and when Christ says it is finished on the cross, it was the finishing of a plan, but the beginning of a new life for us that was possible because of Christ. We no longer had to sacrifice animals in worship. We no longer had to do all these things because that day, the sacrificial lamb, Jesus, had died for our sins. And then
prior to that, you're saying they sacrificed animals all the way back for...
Yeah.
How many? You're talking hundreds of years, thousands,
I mean, it goes way
years,
back, like, because we didn't know what we could do for our sins. Either we paid the price for the sins, or we paid the price through the loss of the best animal in our livestock, or the best, I mean, the way that we read that through the Old Testament, they just made sacrifices and worship, and sometimes the temples would smell of burning flesh of animals. I mean, can you imagine how incredibly gross this was? But it was a gruesome way of worshiping God, but it was the way that the only way that we could, or that we knew how, was the sacrifice of our best lamb or animal, and they would bring.
What if you didn't have an animal?
Bring them to the altar. I don't know how that all worked, but I don't know if that cow represented my family and friends. Yeah. I don't know.
You see how an outsider looking in, though, is looking back at that,
oh,
the Old
crazy.
Testament thing.
Yeah.
You guys, come on, man.
Yeah.
Why do you got to kill a cow to get into heaven?
And, you know, we were all making a lot of crazy decisions, and I don't understand all of it. And there are some people that really study sacrifice of worship and how that worked. Now that's why we say we bring a sacrifice of praise.
Yeah.
Into worship, and the lamb has been slain, that you hear that around Easter. That's the lamb for us is our Savior, Christ, who died.
Yeah.
And he was buried into a tomb and on a Good Friday. But 3 days later, as if you know the Easter story, he rose victorious over death in the grave on today, Easter Sunday. And churches and people, millions of people around the world today are celebrating because we serve the only living God. He rose again, and then for 40 days he appeared to the disciples in person, speaking to them, of reminding them of all that he had done, and also encouraging them for everything that he will do, and the power of the Holy Spirit that goes with everyone to do the work of Christ. We are his messengers from now on. Until he comes again.
Yeah, you know, even as I hear that story now, I've heard that since I was as early as I can remember. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Especially when you believe. See, if you don't believe, first of all, I'm playing the non-believer that's listening to the podcast, because we have certainly a good segment of those. I think most people believe that message, but other people would be saying, Shane, if he appeared to the disciples for 40 days, who took a picture, or who accounted for it? I mean, where's the proof?
Well, the proof is in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They wrote and recorded what he said. Here's four different men writing from their perspectives the same story. So in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these are four guys. You can take them as reporters of that day.
Yeah.
Though they were followers of Christ, they were also recording through God giving them the... we believe scriptures God breathed through man. So God gave them the words to write out the different aspects of the gospel message and the story of what Christ said. So that's why we can look to Matthew 28, and he says, go and make disciples, baptizing them. And we can hear the words of Jesus over and over through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, there wasn't cameras. I wish there was. There wasn't video cameras.
You would be the actual photographer
yes.
of the apostles.
I would like to be called to be the photographer of the resurrection. That would
yes.
be amazing.
That'd be great for your resume, dude.
Hey, I think that would go far.
Yeah.
But
Not that being a pastor branches, is it?
It's okay, not. Yeah, exactly. But I think there's such... We have to then... You said it so well just a second ago. We have to believe.
Yeah.
And honestly, the story minus the Holy Spirit if you're listening out there and you're thinking he sounds like a total Jesus quack,
yeah,
I will tell you, one, thank you, because I am.
Yeah.
But second, the part that doesn't make sense, all I have to do is speak what I know to believe in my heart, and the Holy Spirit will make sense to people. He goes the rest of the distance. And that's what Jesus is actually, what Jesus is saying to his disciples, because they're like, how can we do this without you? Don't leave us. Don't leave this world. And he's saying, no, I'm leaving you the same power that raised me from the dead, from the grave. I'm going to put it into you. It's going to fall on you, and you're going to be able to do things as big and bigger than what I was able to do with the same power of the Holy Spirit from his Father.
Yeah.
So it is one of those stories that if you're skeptical out there, Easter is one of those times where you're going, what in the world? And I really, at this day on Easter, I pray that God breaks through, and you sense there's something really incredible going on right here, and you want to find out more. I tell you, read the case for Faith, Lee Strobel.
Mm-hmm.
Great book. Atheist who went on a goal to figure out why there wasn't a God. He was, a New York Times author or writer, and he went on a quest to prove Christianity wrong, and what he found out was how right it was.
And that's awesome.
The book is incredible. There's another book called The Case for Easter that he wrote.
Yeah.
Why Believe in the Resurrection. But The Case for Faith, highly recommend it. There's a little pocket version of it too that you can get. You can get it on Kindle or on an iTunes too.
The Case for Faith. I'm going to get that.
You should. You'd like it.
Yeah.
I got a copy for you.
Because I'm a seeker. I'm a searcher. You know, I'm always looking for answers.
Yeah, we all want more knowledge.
We do. I think we would all feel a lot better. I know I would, and I'm just putting it out there because I think a lot of people are afraid to say it. We all have faith, but we'd feel a heck of a lot better if we actually saw Jesus, you know.
That would make it easier, wouldn't it?
It would, because it's difficult. A lot of my atheist friends say, dude, you believe in Santa Claus. I mean, you believe in this person who doesn't exist. You've never seen him. Nobody's ever seen him, but he's this really nice guy who's going to give you a big gift at the end called salvation. I've just described Santa Claus to you. Now, that's highly offensive to a Christian, but I'm saying that because there's a lot of people out there that, you know, believe that what you just described is, like, they say it's nonsense. But the cross, to me, I always think of the cross when I'm going through a very difficult time, you know, because I think, like we talked about, the red part of that rope. You know, in your analogy that was written, what was that, a book that you had mentioned on the last show?
From Francis Chan.
Yeah, this whole eternity is a rope. Mm-hmm. And just that little red part of it signifies the infinitesimal amount of time that we're on earth. And I think that Jesus died on the cross for my ridiculous sins that I've created in my life. That the stupid stuff I've done to people, to myself. Just being a complete jerk, not doing it on purpose, because I never want to purposely hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. But I know my actions and my words hurt people all the time. And I try to be better. But when I think of the cross and I think of Jesus dying on that cross, I think how freaking powerful that is.
Right.
And sometimes you don't give it enough credit until you're like, well, at least I don't. Driving in the car by yourself, thinking of your children, you're in a quiet place by yourself. Doesn't need to be church. If you just think the power of the cross and Jesus dying on that cross, so Sam Crowley can go be an idiot and, you know, swear on a podcast and offend people that he doesn't mean to offend, but we can be ourselves, not worry about that, don't intentionally try to hurt God, you know, but we all fall short. We understand that part. The cross is so powerful.
It makes all the difference.
To me, it's so powerful, you know?
That's why I say it's the crutch for everything. You said a good thing, too, for me to pick up on is, you know, when we think of the cross, have you ever been working through something and it's so difficult and you see something on the news like the Haiti earthquake or the tsunami and you think, wow, I really have no issues.
Sure.
Okay. Or you have somebody dying with cancer that's a friend of yours and you see them or talk with them and you walk away and go, I'm an idiot. I have nothing to complain about. Well, the cross is a is a part of, for us as believers, is a perspective gainer. I mean, we see it, and then all of a sudden, the thought of somebody worried about me using profanity on a podcast, like you said, or screwing up, I mean, it's great perspective, because God has done so much more for us, and really understanding what he really cares about, what are real salvation issues, and he knows that we're fallible. He knows that we are screw-ups. That's why he knew that it was going to take sending his son to die for us, to save us. And we needed a superhero, and we got Jesus, and he changed the world. And this weekend, we cannot not notice the impact on the world that Christ has made. And I encourage everyone, I mean, check the news out tonight on Easter Sunday. You'll see millions of people in the way they celebrate Easter all around the world, in Hong Kong and China, communist country one time, now having churches of thousands and thousands coming together to worship God, some in secret because they're scared for their safety in parts of the world. And then in our country, we have the freedom to get together. And for those people coming out just for Easter Sunday, I hope you, and they don't go to church any other time of the year, I hope they soak in so much this year.
It'll change people. On Easter, it'll change people.
That they get it. Yeah. And they want more of it. That's my prayer.
So I want to take you back 8 years. 8 years ago, you convinced me to sing in the Easter.
That's right.
8 years ago.
Was that the power of the cross? Is that
power
what we
of the
did?
Cross. Dude, that was the most amazing journey, because I was broken at the time. Much more humble than I probably even am now, you know, but I'm just being honest, you know. Sometimes you get successful and you think, you know, you got it all figured out. You figured it out. But at that time, I was really going through some time. It was February, and you said, hey, I want you to sing in this thing. I was like, dude, I can't sing. What are you talking about?
I'm like, there's a lot of people that don't sing. Come on. Sing. It's part of the event. Yeah.
So I got involved, and as I started getting, we would have rehearsals every week.
Yep.
And every time I left that rehearsal, I felt better about myself, you know, because I also met people who were broken too.
Yeah.
You know,
messed up,
you know, without naming names, great people.
Yeah.
Great people, you know? And I felt, wow. And I'm not saying this because it's the lowest common denominator. Life ain't so bad for me, you know?
Perspective.
I don't have it that bad.
Yeah.
You know, I was able to get a job back. I've got three girls under the age of Madeline was five. I mean, we had our baby Paige at the time. And then Easter Sunday came, and we sang, I think it was Saturday. Did we sing Saturday night, or was it just all Sunday? It felt like
I think we
50 services in one day.
It was a lot.
I think it was like 8 and 10 and 11 and 12 or something like that. Yeah. We had like four services on Easter Sunday.
We were tired.
And I cried.
Yeah.
And I cried because it was over.
Yeah.
And I sound like such a wimp as I put this persona on this strong guy. I got home and I said to Ange, I was like, gosh, she's like, you're depressed. What? I said, it's over. All this.
Yeah.
It was the most amazing, like, 6 weeks of my life, man. I made all these friends, and then we sing, and the power of the cross and all these songs. And I listened to the CD in my car to get the word, and it was over.
Yeah.
And it sucked. And I was so mad that it was over, you know?
You've never told me that. That's awesome.
But it was the most amazing transformational Easter.
That's awesome.
Out of 46 years, man.
Because you got involved in it.
I would have never gotten involved if I didn't go to MCC, first of all. Met you, because I said, I'll do it for Shane. I would have never gotten involved if I wasn't bankrupt, because I feel like I had to get closer to God. I didn't care what it took. And then, you know what happened? I was singing every Sunday.
Yeah.
Standing in the back of the platform, there was like 30 of us every Sunday, two services. I was in the choir, man. And then when I got done with the choir, I would come sit in the front row with Tom, who was the pastor at the time. And then I remember people coming up to me after service, and they're like, hey, we want to find out more about the programs here. Are you like a junior pastor or something? I was like, that was Tom's reaction too. I was like, No, I'm not a junior pastor here, but
I look like one.
I do have a motivational website.
I play one on TV.
Exactly. But Easter, the cross can change lives,
it
man.
Does. Get
if
involved
you let God
in the story.
Get closer and get into your heart, because I started to understand the meaning of the songs, of the journey, of other people. I started understanding other people. It was awesome, dude. That was 8 years ago.
That musical had that song Humble Me in it. And yeah. I remember we were all crushed when we would sing that song. The whole idea of being humble before the cross of Christ and realizing all that we think we are, we're not.
Yeah.
And yet all the good in us is in Jesus. And, it, you know, I love that story, Sam. You've never told me that, but I remember it. The expression of joy on our faces to be able to celebrate something that over that journey, we believed it and we celebrated it and we love it. And so get involved in the Easter story.
You want to hear something? All right. You want to hear a funny story?
And you'd always ask me about when do you get to do a solo?
Yes. I would always ask you, hey, Shane, when's my solo?
What are you going
to
tell me?
I was standing next to Barry the baritone. Remember Barry?
Yes. Big Barry.
You know, and I was like, whoa. He's the guy I was stood next to. I'm like, dang, I can't compete with this guy. But then I got a little bit of confidence, and the microphone was kind of positioned very, so I kind of like nudged over and would yell into the mic and stuff when I was singing just to try to get on there, and I'm sure they turned it off. So then we moved to Pennsylvania for one winter, and then we moved back to Cincinnati. It was 2008, and I got in the musical of two. We got back in 2009, and I didn't go to any rehearsals, nothing for the musical, but I showed up Thursday night or Friday night.
For dress rehearsal?
For like the thing. No, this was like Saturday. I just showed up like Saturday night. Angie's like, what are you doing? I said, dude, they hide me in the back anyway. Nobody's going to hear me. I just want to get back into the flow.
Yeah.
And I wore a white shirt and khaki pants. I showed up. I went through the basement. I was just making my way up to the choir, and I see other people
all in black.
Everybody was in black.
Awesome.
So I was the, which one of these doesn't go with the other? So I was like, oh, hey. They go, oh, hey, you here for the? I'm like, oh, yeah, I was just going to watch you guys. I'm going to sit in front. And I slid back out the other, like, back entrance. I got my car, drove home. And she goes, what are you doing? I go, everybody's in black. Everybody's in black, man. I couldn't fit in. She goes, thank God. It's better you did. I don't think I ever told you that.
No, you haven't. Yeah. But it does not surprise me.
But when you're around other believers, man, and you feel the power of the cross, and you got Easter, and I do, look, Christmas and Easter are very special times.
Well, yeah.
You know, one is amazing. The birth of Christ, one is the resurrection. And it gets people back, I think, thinking, at least thinking.
Yeah.
What's it mean? You know, I think there's people right now, Shane, that are listening to the show, and they're thinking again about the power of the cross.
Yeah.
And what the resurrection means.
What does it really mean to them?
And that you are forgiven for your sins, whether you have committed adultery, committed murder, a crime, stealing, you know, anything that you've done. There is nothing so bad that Jesus does not want to forgive you and bring you back to him. You know, and I always feel that, you know, I always feel when I'm getting further and further away from God or my faith and my struggle. And I think it's all about me and Sam Crowley. And isn't this great? Something trips me up. Mm-hmm. And I think, all right, you know, I've made a big mistake, but I'm forgiven. So I can redirect my course and go in a better direction. And I always find myself correcting my course. You know, I think a lot of people, a lot of fallen sinners like myself out there, hold on to the cross. It's all we got, man.
That's all we got. And it's someone explains it as the rudder of our lives. You know, it directs us and puts us in the right direction, and we can't get back on that path without it.
Yeah. It's very powerful, man. So as we wrap up the Easter Sunday podcast, that was good, man, taking a trip down memory lane.
It was awesome.
That was pretty funny. And it was even more funny being a junior pastor at MCC. One of the largest churches in Cincinnati, I was junior pastor.
For a day.
Well, I got to tell you, there was a part that bothered me, and it was the junior part.
You're a mess.
I came home.
Hey, I believe in the priesthood of all believers. You are a pastor in your own right. You're the pastor at Every Day is Saturday.
I'm the pastor.
So somebody out there on iTunes, write to Pastor Sam today.
Yes. Send me an email, PastorSam@everyday. Now, you can't do that because it won't get through. Hit me up on Twitter, @SamCrowley, and just let me know, man. You can address me as Pastor Sam. It's
and
okay.
When you do say, Pastor Sam, I want to rate you on iTunes. Give me five stars.
Give the pastor a 5-star rating on iTunes. Absolutely.
Come on, make his day today. Happy Easter, Sam.
Seriously. Hey, Shane, another great show, man. Happy Easter to you, your family. We're going to have an exciting, exciting weekend at Branches Church. And it should, lots of people attend church on Easter, man. It's an opportunity for us to really say, hey, this is a powerful time. You know, he is risen.
Can't wait.
All right, buddy. Have the best day ever, everybody. Happy Easter. We'll see you on the next show.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.